fill the abbot's bed with ants? Who nailed up all the doors? Who was it glued the bell rope and stuck the ringer's paws? Who filled the pond with beetroots and turned the waters red? Who baked poor Formal's sandals inside a loaf of bread? The dreaded Bragoon and Sorrow, I'm here to tell you all, there's never been two like him at the Abbey of Redwall.
The Dibbons jumped up and down in delight, roaring with laughter at the escapades of the infamous pair. Horty and his friends, Springle and Fenner, laughed too. Torn put on a stern face, wagging a cautionary paw at his listeners.
I tell you, 'twasn't so funny for the poor creatures who were the butt of those tricks.
Horty scoffed.
Oh, I say, sir, you don't actually believe all that dreadful twaddle about Bragoon and Sorrow, what?
Abbot Carroll answered him.
Sorin's right, 'tis all true. I was a young un here myself at the time, I saw it.
Fenner fluttered her long eyelashes prettily.
Oh, really, Father Abbot? You don't expect us to believe all that about Bragoon and Sorrow? We're not Dibbons anymore. Torrin makes up the stories to amuse the little ones. They'll believe anything, but we know better.
Martha spoke out sharply.
If the Abbot and Torrin say it is true, then I'm certain it is. What reason will we have to doubt them?
Her words, however, went unheeded by the three young'uns as they strolled off together, still unwilling to credit the existence of the fabled duo. Horty scoffed.
Bragoon and Sorrow, what? Load of jolly old codswallop, if you ask me.
Springle giggled.
If I swallowed that lot, I'd be looking out for fishes nesting in trees and flying.
Martha was so angry that she almost rose from the rug. But then she fell back again. Abbot Carroll helped her to sit up.
Don't upset yourself, Martha. One day our young friends will wake up and find themselves somewhat older and a little wiser. Just wait and see. I was a bit like them at that age, but one lives and learns.
The young hermaid sighed.
I hope it happens to my brother soon. I don't like to say this, Father, but Horty seems to behave more outrageously each day.
Torrin helped Martha into a chair.
Don't you worry. Orty's a hare. They're always a bit wild when they're young.
Martha retrieved her volume and straightened her rug.
Perhaps you haven't noticed, Torrin, but I'm a hare too.
Sister Portula dusted a stray flower petal from Martha's head.
Ah, but you're a very rare and special kind of hare, my dear. Any beast can see that.
Hostile weather still reigned on the plains and heathlands of the Far East. Ragabol and his sea rats had not made much headway in 3 days of trekking westward. The sea rat captain's poor stump pained abominably. They camped on high ground, in the lee of a rocky projection. Apart from a few chosen cronies, the crew avoided the captain, making their own fire sufficiently far away to evade his sudden wrath. Ragabol sat by his own fire, with Glimbo and Blowfly in attendance. The two runners had been sent out to retrieve the badger's head, but had returned empty-pawed. They crouched at the far side of the blaze, panting from their long journey. Ragabol watched, reflecting flames glinting from the polished silver hook where his paw had once been. His luminous eyes shifted to the runners.
Are you certain 'twas the spot where I slew the giant striped dog?
Both heads nodded.
Certain, sure, Captain. I'd swear me oath on it, Captain Bow. The striped dog was gone. There was no sign of him anywheres about.
The sea rat captain's terrifying stare never left either of the two quivering vermin.
But the old one, he was buried there.
Aye, Captain, right on the spot where ye slew the big un.
He's right, Captain. The very spot. All the tracks were wiped out, too. Wasn't nothing we could do but come back here, fast as we could, to tell ya.
Ragabol dropped his gaze to the steaming ground at the fire's edge.
Speak to none about this, or you're both dead rats. Now get out of my sight!
Glimbo and Blowfly scuttled off, relieved to be still among the living, after having brought their murderous captain such bad news. Hunching against the bleak cold at his back, Ragabol sat silent. His eyes roved between the silver hook and the roaring, wind-driven fire. Blowfly whispered to Glimbo.
I reckon that giant striped dog must still be alive, mate.
The fat sea rat's hushed whisper was barely audible, but Ragabol heard it. He stood slowly and faced them both. With lightning swiftness, his hook shot out, latching onto Blowfly's broad belt. The sea rat was dragged forward to find himself facing Bowl's upraised blade and threatening snarl.
Did you ever see a beast alive after I'd struck him with me blade? Well, did you?
Blowfly watched the heavy scimitar poised, one stroke away from his quivering double chins. The rat's voice went squeaky with panic.